when he was young, so too, he's davening that Hashem should protect him when he's old. Now, a lot has happened from when he is young to when he is old. Most notably, David HaMelech has a couple of missteps along the way, right? And what David HaMelech's argument essentially to Hashem is going to be, that despite those missteps, despite them as any mistakes he may have made along the way, nonetheless, he still davens to Hashem for that same level of protection, for that same level of divine providence. So in that regard, the two chapters are very, very much intertwined. So let's do chapter 70. We're going to spend less time on chapter 70. We'll spend more time on chapter 71. But here we go. Lam natzeach leDavid lahaskir. Again, this word lahaskir, which we have yet, if anyone does not have a sheet, if you could just raise your hand, we have more. And as I said, I'm trying out a new format this morning. You'll see you have new sheets. This is from a wonderful book on Tehillim. I forget his name, but I thought this might be an easier format, and it gives you more context to the chapter, which you can look at on your own. So, what was that? What was that?
Like it.
Oh, you like it. Okay, good, good. Well, the office staff didn't like it as much because obviously we had trouble with the printer this morning. But we'll nail that part down a little bit better. But definitely, it's a great book, and it's a great reference guide when saying the chapter to him. Okay, so what's this word lahaskir? Lahaskir, Rashi gives two interpretations. And I honestly have no idea what's in there, so it could be that he quotes this, I have no idea. First, Rashi says the word lahaskir is lashon tefila. It's a language of prayer. Where do we know every morning in our davening that the word lahaskir is a language of prayer? It's lahagid. What's lahaskir? So at the end of davening, we say, Eilav arechev, ve'eilav asusim, ve'anachnu b'shem Hashem Elokeinu, nazkir. Nazkir over there does not mean, what does it mean? Right? Eilav arechev, ve'eilav asusim, there are those who put their faith in horses and chariots. We've spoken about that many times in many different contexts in the past. But ve'anachnu, what do we do? B'shem Hashem, nazkir. What does it mean, nazkir? We remember God's name. So Rashi over here points out that no, the word lahaskir means a form of davening, which actually is a beautiful insight. Because when you daven to Hashem, what are you really doing? You're remembering God. I'll give you a good analogy, which is, thank God, I have an amazing relationship with my mom, who, please God, will be moving down here shortly. And I'm a mama's boy. I call my mom every day, multiple times a day, but at least once a day. Right? If a day goes by where I don't call my mom, what do I get? Right? My mom calls me, and what does she say? Everything okay? Are you upset at me? Right? In other words, me calling her is a reflection of me remembering her. In the moment I don't call her, what does she feel? That I forgot her. Right? So Rapinkus develops in a Sefer Sharam Mitvila that davening is the exact same way. Right? Does God need my davening? Why couldn't Hashem have just given me everything that I ever wanted? Why does he make me ask for it? So in a very simplistic way, davening is a way for us to remember Hashem. That if Hashem handed me everything I had, everything I ever wanted on a silver platter, it would be very easy to forget God. You know how I know this? The Torah itself tells it to us. Torah in Sefer Devarim tells us, Kochi ve'otzim yadi asi li esachai el hazeh, that there's going to come in time when we are going to live with such affluence and such comfort that we're going to forget about Hashem. It's much easier to remember Hashem in the difficult times. When things are going well, it's much easier to forget about God altogether. When the markets are up and the real estate is up, right? So who needs God then? But it's when you have an illness, it's when the markets are down, it's when financially you're unstable, that's when you turn to God. So Hashem says, if I gave you everything, you're going to forget about me. Not that Hashem needs us to remind him, but for our sake, we want to remind Hashem throughout our day. And so every time I ask Hashem for something, it's a recognition that I'm remembering that everything I have ultimately comes from Hashem. The Malbim is going to develop this idea throughout chapter 71 that we're going to study, but I wanted to plant that. Rashi, of course, does not develop that, but I think that's what Rashi is driving at. Why the word lahaskir, to remember, is also a language of prayer, because prayer is the conduit through which we remember Hashem. Then Rashi gives another interpretation, and he quotes a midrash. And the midrash, he says, is to a king who gets very upset at his sheep. And what he does when he gets upset at his sheep is v'sasar es adir v'hotzi es atzon v'saroa. He closes down the pen and he throws out the sheep and the shepherd. After a while, the king's anger abates. Vehichsir es hason, ubana es adir. He brings the sheep back. He rebuilds the sheep's pen. Velohiskir es haroa. But he forgets about the shepherd. So the shepherd said, wait a second, what about me? You brought the sheep back, but you forgot about me, the shepherd. So says Rashi, that's exactly what happens here. Over here, right, he says that Hashem is going to, that we're talking about here is David, the shepherd, right? Hashem is returning the Jewish people, saving Eretz Yisrael. And David HaMelech says, what about me? You've saved my Jewish people. You've saved the sheep. But what about me, the shepherd? It's time to save me as well. I got my own problems, says David HaMelech. So what the Medrash is saying is this is autobiographical about David HaMelech. That's essentially what Rashi is quoting here. That this is an autobiographical description of David HaMelech asking Hashem for divine intervention. Pasuk Beis. Elohim la'tzilenu Adonai le'ezrasi chusha. Hashem, save me le'ezrasi chusha. The word chusha here, the Meforshim explain, means quickly. In other words, Hashem, save me quickly. Yevoshu v'yachparu mevakshi nafshi yisogo achor v'yikalmu chafetzei rasi. I'm going through chapter 70 a little quicker because I want to spend more time on chapter 71. But those who sought out my destruction, mevakshi nafshi, those who sought out my soul and those who wanted to kill me, Yevoshu, they should be embarrassed. Yisogu achor, Hashem, you should turn them back. V'yikalmu, and again, they should be ashamed. Chafetzi rasi, those who sought harm on my behalf. Yashuvu al ekev bashtam, al ekev, of course, means the heel. Notice you should, when you're pushing someone back, you want them on their heels. So that's the imagery that David HaMelech is using here in Pasuk 4, right? Yashuvu al ekev bashtam ha'omrim. Ha'ach, ha'ach. How does he translate ha'ach, ha'ach? What does it say there? Pasuk 4. He doesn't translate it. So what does that mean, ha'ach, ha'ach? That's cheating. That's like when you look up in the dictionary, and you look up, you know, like, despondent, and it'll say, like, the art of being despondent. And you're like, shkoyach, I didn't know what despondent meant. Now I don't know what the art of despondent means. Right? So what does it mean, ha'ach, ha'ach? How would you interpret it? What would you say? So Rashi says it's those who cheer on. Like, heach, heach, go, 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 right? That's what David HaMelech is saying. Those who cheered on my destruction, you should seek their downfall. Rav Hirsch has a different interpretation, which I think is beautiful. Rav Hirsch says, what does the word heach mean? We know this in the Hebrew language. Don't overthink it. An ach means what?
A brother.
So it's those who say, ah, you're my brother. In other words, those who put their arm around me, they try to befriend me, they smile at me, but what are they trying to do the second I turn my back? They're stabbing me in the back, they're speaking slanderously against me. So Amrim, ach, ach, those who were trying to pretend to be my friend, those are the ones who really sought to destroy me. Where do we see this in the parshios that are coming up? It's the difference between Esav and Lavan, Chazal point out. Whereas Esav was more overt in his efforts to destroy Yaakov, Lavan is much more surreptitious, right? Lavan is trying to be his best friend, but we know that Lavan the entire time has nefarious intentions. So it's ha'omrim, ach, ach. And we see this, by the way, in geopolitical terms in our day and age as well, right? There are those who overtly seek our destruction, and then there are those who pretend to be our friends, and they smile at us, and they invite us, and but we know that behind the scenes, they're manipulating events, they're supporting institutions that are ultimately seeking out our destruction. So ha'ach ha'ach is not just a description of David, but it's a very real geopolitical description of what it is that the state of Israel is going through now. Pasuk 5, Yasisu v'yismichu b'cha ko mevakshi mevakshecha. Hashem, all those who put their faith in you, who seek out you, they should rejoice. V'yomru tamid yigdal Elohim. And again, they should always be singing your praise. Again, this will come back to over and over again, this theme of constantly singing Hashem's praise. Notice the word tamid. Tamid means always, constantly, in every circumstances. Yigdal Elohim, I will raise you up, God, O Avei Yeshua Secha, those who love your salvation, those who seek out your salvation. Ve'ani, David says, but as for me, Ani ve'evyon, I am poor and destitute. What does Evyon mean? So again, it's two words for poor. Elohim chushali, Ezri umafalti ata, Adonai al te'acher. Hashem, do not delay whatsoever in creating my salvation. If you had to summarize the theme, how would you summarize the theme right now? Emotionally.
Despair.
Despair, right? Definitely despair. There's a desperate nature to his desperation, right? How do we know that? Because there's a word that came up at least two times, probably even more, which is that notion of hasty, right? Al ta'acher, chusha, right? In other words, Hashem, don't delay. In other words, David HaMelech is finding himself in such a precarious situation that he's saying to Hashem, I need it now. In other words, this isn't something that can play out over time. This is something that I need in the immediacy. So again, we're talking about David running away from Avshalom. According to most Mefarshim, there's a desperation to it, and it's a recognition that his salvation is going to come from Hashem. Yeah.
How does David all of a sudden become so kind to his enemies to say they're also rejoicing in God? I mean, this it comes like out of a left field.
Where do you see that?
Because it's right after the pasuk, Omer Ma'acha, right?
No. When he's talking about Yasisu Yismichol Komevak Shecha, those who seek you, Hashem, as opposed to the enemies which are seeking me, and they should be destroyed, those who seek you, Hashem, should experience the Yeshua.
I would argue that he's talking about his enemies who also believe in God, who also think that they're now on top of him, but they happen to be his enemies. He's worried. The Zecher may be because he's worried about Hester Panim.
He's worried about Hester Panim. Of course he's worried about Hester Panim.
Right, so
he doesn't want God to forget him. He doesn't.
There's an argument as to Hester Panim. What is the worst punishment? Is Hester Panim the worst punishment? Which the Ramban would say. And the Ramban would
right.
say, no,
right.
actually getting punished is the worst punishment. David is worried.
So we'll see in a second as we read chapter 71. David HaMelech is clearly not afraid of the punishment.
Mm-hmm.
That is explicit. And I'll tell you why, how I know he's not afraid of the punishment. The word already appeared here. No, it did not appear here. When we read chapter 71, there's going to be a word that's going to appear countless times. Now, this is a trick anytime you study Tanakh. Whether you're studying Chumash, whether you're studying Navi, certainly when you're studying Tehillim. When there's a word that appears and repeats itself over and over again, that's what the Torah is honing you in on. So there's a word that's going to appear in chapter 71, probably 6-7 times. Okay? Hold on to what that word's going to be. I'm not going to tell you, because that's how you're going to pay attention. Right? Hold on to what that word's going to be, and then we're going to figure out why that word is so central, exactly, Lenny Grunstein, to what you said. How I know that David is not afraid of the punishment, much more is he afraid of losing that relationship with Hashem. Okay, but there's going to be one word, and I want you guys to find the word. It's going to be so obvious, it's going to hit you in the face. Okay, so here we go. I'm not allowed to say that. First time I ever gave a drasha, I said, it's a famous medrash. And the rabbi who I was interning under said, you're never allowed to say that. Because then if someone doesn't know the medrash, then they feel stupid. So I'm not going to say it's obvious. I'm going to say, once I saw it written, that this was the explanation became obvious to me. But it might not be obvious to other people. But here we go. Chapter 71. Becha Adonai Chasisi, Alevosha Leolam. Hashem, in you I place my trust. Alevosha Leolam. In other words, I should never feel despondent. I should never be filled with despair. Bitsit Kascha Tatsileni Utefalteni. Hashem, with your righteousness, Hashem, you should save me. And you shall rescue me. Hate elai aznecha ve'oshieni. Place your ear close to me. In other words, hear my prayer and be my salvation. Okay? So again, you sense automatically, David needs something. He's davening to Hashem for that element of salvation. Pasuk Gimel. Heye li latsur ma'oz. You should be like a rock. You should be a refuge for me. Lavo tamid. That I can come to you. What's that word? Again, now we're seeing it a second time in two chapters. Tamid. What does tamid mean? Like always. That's not the word, but there's a definite significance in that word as well. Tzivisa loshieni. What is the word tzivisa?
Command.
Mm-hmm. Who's commanding who? Who's commanding? Who's the tzivisa? You commanded Lo Shieni to save me. So it's a very strange formulation. Right? So what does that mean? So the Metzudas David says, Halo me'olam tzivisa l'malachecha Lo Shieni. That David is talking to the angels. In other words, Hashem, you always communicated to your angelic forces that they should always protect me, that they should always save me. Kitzali u'mesudasi ata, because you are my rock and you are my fortress. Rock and a fortress are two different imageries. I'll just share that with you. I'll let you figure that out on your own. But a rock and a fortress both serve different purposes. Pasuk 4. Elohai, palteni miad rasha. Hashem, save me from the hands of the wicked. Mikaf me'avel v'chometz. From those who are, again, different interpretations. Me'avel can mean unjust. Or me'avel can be from the word ol. What is an ol? Like Kabbalah, ol malchut shamayim. They place their yoke on me. They're burdening me. They're oppressing me. V'chometz. How does he translate the word chometz there? Violent. Right? Because the Meforshim explained that the word chometz is from the word chamas. We know the word chamas very well. That's where he gets it from. What does chometz really mean? Chimutz. No, well, chametz, yeah.
Is it sour?
Sour, right? It's vinegary. In other words, when I give you vinegar, it's like harming you. Right? So that's the imagery that's being conjured up here, is that they're harming him, that they're afflicting him, that they're being, there's like a lawlessness there. Pasuk, hey, ki ata tikvasi, because Hashem, you are my tikva, you are my, I place my hope in you. Adonai Elohim miftachi mineorai, this is very central. Hashem, I placed my hope in you, mineorai, from when I was young. We know that David's not young here, as I introduced this parakatilim with. So why is he talking about his youth? The answer is, pasuk 6, 7, 8, and 9. Alecha nismachni mibeten imi. Mibeten. Mimei imi ata gozi Hashem. I have already nismachti. I've been somech on you. I've placed, I've depended on you already from my mother's womb. Ata gozi bechati lasi tamid. That third time now, the word tamid. Right, Hashem? Ata gozi. How does he translate the word gozi? You are my gozi. What does he say there? I don't know. Pasuk. The end of Pasuk, middle of Pasuk 6.
Praise.
Praise? No, that's afterwards. Bechati lasi tamid. Because of that, I'm going to praise you, Hashem. He says, from my mother's womb, what did you do? You what?
You
drew me, right? So the Meforshim say, Hotza'a. You took me out of the mother's womb.
Okay.
So that's interesting. Because what is it, him taking out of his mother's womb after the price of tea in China? So Ocheitz is, this is Gozi. Gozi. Which is the Metzudas Sion says, Inyan Hotza, as we say, Vayigoz Slavim, Hashem extracted the Slav. What does that mean that you already from my coming out of the mother's womb, you protected me? What exactly does that mean? So Rav Hirsch here develops a very beautiful idea. He said what the interpretation means is that from the moment I came out of my mother's womb, you isolated me and caused me to stand apart from those whom it would have been most natural that I should have had a close contact. In other words, you made me a little separate. You made me a little different, David HaMelech says. Now, how do we know that David HaMelech was different? So we know this, as Rav Hirsch, because of how David was chosen. What do we know about his youth? For those who remember Shmuel Aleph, he was constantly being slighted by who? His father, his brothers. In fact, when they come and they're going to choose who the, you know, who the chosen one, so to speak, is going to be, David HaMelech is basically overlooked. So Rav Hirsch says, thus David found little love and understanding in the family group into which he was born. He was an outsider from his youth. Rejected by his family, David was forced to depend upon his inner resources. In other words, we sometimes fall into the trap of thinking we can depend on each other. Who are we really depending on the entire time? Hashem. But because we have each other, we have this false assumption that I'm really dependent on you. That's why we say these words, Elav Arecha, Elav Asusim. We say throughout Tehillim, right, that some people place their faith in human beings, but we place our faith in Hashem. David never had friends to place his trust in. He didn't have family to support him. And so what was he forced to do? Develop a faith in Hashem. Says Rav Hirsch, lesser men might find defeat in such a situation. Right? Rejected by their family, alone in the world, no one to depend upon. So a lesser person would have given up. They would have been filled with despair. But a vigorous mind and a rich and noble spirit is capable of rising above this handicap, and in fact, of making it an adequate basis for the development of his personality. Who else do we know did that in Tanakh? Rejected by his family, and still achieved great heights. Yosef, certainly. Right? Who else? Avram. Avram is rejected by his father, shatters the idols. Lech lecha me'artzecha, he has to leave his entire, right? What theme do you see? Is that the great Jews throughout history were okay standing alone. They were okay going out on their own. Whether it was a Mordechai, whether it was a Esther, whether it was a Avram, whether it was a Yosef, whether it was a David. Right? No, these were people that were rejected by their fellow men and women, and they were forced to find God on their own terms. And that's ultimately what elevated them to the lives that they were. So David says, Alecha nismachta mibeten mimei imi ata gozi. You were extracting me already from my mother's womb. I had to rely on you. At a very early age, I learned that the only one I could depend on was you. And therefore, Becha tilasi tamid. In you I place my trust constantly. What was that? Pasuk 7. Kimofes hayisi l'rabim. What does a mofate mean? Like a wonderment. In other words, I'm a walking miracle, David says. I achieved success against all odds. There's no logical reason, says David, why I achieved the level that I became. Kimofes hayisi l'rabim. Right? We all know people like this in our lives. Or we've at least read the stories about people who underwent enormous challenges, an enormous amount of adversity, and still achieved the level that they achieved, right? Every time I look at a Holocaust survivor, I think about this, right? Kimofes hayisi l'rabim. They are a miracle. You watch them. The Malbim points out that what does it mean, kimofes? He says that when someone sees me, they realize that there must be some force above nature. Because by natural explanations, there's no logical reason why I succeeded. There must be that I am part of a team that transcends nature, right? So I think about that when I see Holocaust survivors. You think about that when you read the biographies of people who overcame enormous hardships and enormous adversities and achieved enormous amounts of success. Kimofes hayul rabim. They are a miracle. It's when you realize that there are forces in play that transcend the facts of nature. That says the Malbim, right? Eino davar teva. Rak mofes upela. My existence, my success, it can't be explained in natural terms. There must be that there's divine intervention. It must be that someone, some force, is looking out for me that transcends the laws of nature. Ve'ata machsi oz, you are my strong machsi, you are my strong abode, again, where I seek refuge from. Pasuk 8. Yimalei pi tilasecha. And therefore my mouth is going to be filled with your praise. Kol hayom tifartecha. All day I am going to sing out your glory. Again, you see that notion of tamid, tamid, kol hayom, all the time, all the time, all the time. Why is that so significant that David sings to Hashem all the time? Hold that thought for a few more psukim. Pasuk 9. Very important pasuk. Al tashlicheni leiz zikna. Where do we know this line from? We know this from Shema Koleinu. Al tashlicheni le'izikna kichlos kochenu. We make it in the plural. Al tazvenu. What does the pasuk mean? That when I get old, Hashem, don't reject me. Now we understand from a pshat perspective what it means. Right? David is contrasting his relationship with Hashem when he was younger with what he's yearning for when he's older. What he's essentially telling Hashem is the same way you protected me when I was young, please Hashem, continue to protect me as I get older. Al tashlicheni lezikna. In other words, the same way when I was mi beten mi me imi, the same way you protected me immediately when I came out of my mother's womb, al tashicheni leisikna. Now that I'm older, and now that I'm a little bit more frail, Malbim says, lest my enemies think that the reason for my success all these years was because of my physical strength. And now that they see me getting older, they're going to think that they can pounce on me and overtake me. So David HaMelech says to Hashem, Al tashchein l'zikna, show my enemies that really it was you the entire time that was giving me that strength. It was never my physical strength. It was never my physical capabilities, but it was you. And so therefore, David makes an argument to Hashem. He says, Hashem, if you protect me while I'm old, it's going to be the greatest glorification of your name, because it's going to show everyone that the entire time I was reliant on you. Whereas if you let me falter, if all of a sudden my enemies are able to overtake me, then they'll say, ah, you got him. When he was young and vibrant, then we couldn't touch him. But now that he's old and frail, now we can go at him. For those who've ever learned Malachim Aleph, my son happens to be learning that in his Tanakh this year, so I was going over it with him. That's very much the narrative in the first parak of Malachim Aleph, when Adoniyah and Shlomo have a power struggle. Why do they have a power struggle? Because how does Malachim Aleph start out? David HaMelech is old and frail. And when a king is old and frail, that opens up the door for tension and for friction and for sibling rivalries about who's going to take over the throne, right? So David HaMelech is asking Hashem, Al tashchein l'zikna. That's definitely the pshat. Of course, I think all of us struggle with that pshat. Why are we then saying it in Shema Koleinu? Right, Hashem, don't reject me when I'm old. It doesn't relate to me as much, right? Shouldn't relate to you as much either. So let me share with you from... How do you understand it? Leisikna means what? Again, I was trying not to comment on the age of some people. No, but what, when I'm older, in other words, Hashem... But it speaks to me too, and as we specifically make it in the plural, why would we make that a universal statement? How does that relate to me? How does that relate to my son? Right, so there's so many people... It must be a different interpretation of it. So you're saying, for me, it's a tefillah la'atid. In other words, I'm saying, Hashem, right now, thank God, I'm healthy, whatever. But looking, 90 years into the future, Hashem, take care of me also. No, so that's definitely the pshat. That's definitely the pshat, 100%. Let me share with you, though, a different understanding. That le'id zikna, right? So if you ever watch, I was watching someone very old, like much older, walking the other day, one of the older people of our community, and walking very slow, right? Can't move very fast. So le'id zikna, he says, is a reflection of our service of Hashem. In other words, sometimes our service of Hashem feels dynamic and vibrant. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and your davening is great and your learning is great and you're coming to classes and you feel great. And then there's some days where you're relationship with Hashem feels old. What does it mean that it feels old? It means that it's grown stale. It's grown stale. You're doing things in a robotic, mechanic fashion. You're going through the motions. You're doing things by rote. So it feels old. It's lacking that sense of newness. It's lacking that sense of freshness. He says, Ki lefamim, nofel ha'avoda shel adam lidei zikna. There are some times when our service of Hashem feels old. It feels tired. It feels sluggish, right? Bam Saud Ham Shech Hazman. Because the more I do something, the same way the older I get, the slower that gets, so too the older my service of Hashem gets, knows the more I do it, so it grows old, right? With time, the more I daven, it can sometimes grow old. When I look, right, if I say the same words at davening every day, so the more I say it, it's very hard to keep it fresh. It's very hard to keep it new. That's why we have to constantly learn and challenge ourselves. V'zeu sh'anu mispalim al tashchein l'zikna. That, he says, is what we're davening to Hashem. Hashem, even if my service to you grows old, and even if it grows stale, and even if it grows monotonous, al tashchein, Hashem, don't reject me. Keep me close, affording me the opportunity to renew it and to constantly find that sense of freshness. So yes, 100% pshat is when I get older physically. But I think this gives a new interpretation, which I think applies to every age demographic, which says when my service of Hashem feels old, that's what I'm davening to Hashem. That Hashem shouldn't reject me, even under those circumstances. That is Pasuk 9. Pasuk 10. Ki amru oivai li vishomrei nashi noatsu yachdav. Because those who are seeking my destruction, noatsu yachdav, they are getting together and plotting and planning against me. Right? Yachdav. Leimor, what are they saying? Elohim azavu. Why are they plotting against me? Because they're saying that Hashem has abandoned me. Ridfu v'tifsu ki ein matzil. Now we can get him, because there's no one to protect him. There's no one to take care of him. Pasuk Yibbeis. Therefore, David says to Hashem, Elohim al tirchak mimeni. Hashem, don't distance yourself from me. Elohai le'ezrasi chusha. Again, that notion of immediacy. Hashem, quickly, help me. Yevoshu yiklu sotne nafshi. Again, you should embarrass, you should shame those who are trying to seek evil for me. Yatu cherpa uchlima. They should be filled with busha. Mevakshei rasi. Those who sought my destruction. That is the end of that section. That is David HaMelech essentially saying to Hashem, can you save me from embarrassment? Instead, embarrass those who were seeking my destruction.
It's interesting the use of the term, going back to Gozi and then continuing with
right.
Barzov, uh-huh. AIDS, and all these. Gozi has two meanings, as you explained. It could be cut off, it could be the support, the help. So, in David's case, as we know historically, the appearances were deceiving. He was cut off because right. He was considered the bastard child.
Right.
But it was really Ashkacha Pratis.
That's exactly Rav Hirsch's point. Rav Hirsch's point was, yeah. Is that what a normal person would have given up and said, I'm rejected, I got nothing. David does the opposite.
All right, so consider now the appearances. Because what David, I think, is worried about here is he appears to be weak.
Correct, 100%.
And now when you appear to be weak,
correct, correct. That's so what he says, right? Lay more. Elohim Azavu. They're going to see my weakness. They're going to see my old age. And they're going to say, ah, now we can get him.
So now he's saying, make the reality appear that way so that everyone gets the message. I'm on top, not on bottom. I have a good relationship with you, and don't
right.
Let everyone jump on me.
Correct,
100%. Because they think otherwise. 100%,
100%. Okay, I fully agree and beautifully said. Pasuk Yadalad. I just want to make sure I get through this parak and giving myself enough time to explain at the end. Vani, this to me, the next two psukim are gorgeous. What Ramalbim does with the next two psukim. Vani, for me, tamid ayachel. What does ayachel mean? Ochi lalakel. Right, we know that from... I put my hope in you, Hashem. Again, that word, tamid. Vosafti al kotila secha. And I'm going to add on to all of your praise. I'm going to read Tesvav also and then explain. Pi yisaper sidkasecha kol hayom teshuasecha. My mouth is going to sing your sidkasecha, your righteousness, all day. Kiadati siforos. What is kiadati siforos? How does he interpret that? The end of the 15th verse. Your siforos. What's siforos? I don't know. What does it say there? Counting. What does that mean? Yeah, no, I know what lispor means. I'm asking you. What does that mean? I'm going to... Ki yadati siforos. I know you're counting. That's how he translates it? What does he say? That means nothing to me. Because I know you're counting? What does that mean? So what does this mean? So I want to share with you this Malbim, which is gorgeous. Okay, the Malbim in the 14th verse and the 15th verse. You notice that we've been saying this word tamid over and over again. All the time, all the time, all the time. The Malbim says something beautifully. He says, because when it comes to your relationship with a human being, so when I need something from you, that's when I have that relationship with you. The moment I don't need something for you, so I'm not calling you as frequently, right? I have a friend who's in the rabbinate, and I don't think in the last 5 years he's ever called me, except for when he needs a favor, right? It's like Friday afternoon, he needs a drasha, so he calls me up, right? It's Tuesday. What was that?
He should listen.
As I told, no. But, you know, at a certain point, I made a joke to him, and I was like, you know, one time he should just call me to say hi. Because he, like, a little bit felt used. But he only calls me when he needs something from me. The moment he, of course, I'm happy to help him. I the rabbinate, you help everyone because Hashem pays you back. That's my belief, right? But he only calls me when he needs something. And the moment I get what I need, so my dependence on that person is less significant. So in a parent, I think that's what all parents struggle with when their children get less dependent. As my children are getting into the teenage years, I'm learning that. You have to give up. So you have to give them a little bit more autonomy. And it's a strange feeling, right? The first time your child goes out and you're like, whoa, wait a second. You don't need me to, you know, but, right? So, because a parent kind of likes that feeling. They like having their children dependent on them. So in human interactions, if I need something desperately and you can give me what I need, so the moment I need it, I'm talking to you all the time, I'm conversing with you, we're in contact. The second I get what I need, I lose that connection. What David HaMelech is saying, says the Malbim, is that my relationship with you is the exact opposite. Tamid. It is constant. Which means that when I need something, I'm calling out to you. And even when I don't need something, even when I have everything that I ever wanted, I'm still going to call out to you. Because I'm not going to forget where it all came from. Right? Tamid ayachel. I crave that relationship with you, even when I have everything under the sun. Because my relationship with you, he says, is not because you are an ATM machine. Right? I'm obviously translating the Malbim into modern English. But essentially what David HaMelech is saying to Hashem is, my relationship with you is not because you're an ATM machine. It's not I need health, I dive into Hashem. I have health, I forget about God. Right? No, it's the exact opposite. Tamid ayachel. Ultimately, what I want more than anything is that relationship with you. And that means that I want it in good times. It means I want it when I have everything I ever wanted. And it means I want it when I'm struggling as well. That's what you and I crave. And that's what we always have to keep our eye on the ball of, is that sometimes we relate to God as that ATM machine. I need something, I dive in, I get. When I don't get, I get disappointed, I get frustrated. When I have everything, davening is a lot harder. That's not what the relationship with Hashem is about, right? The relationship with Hashem is about praising Him in the good times, davening to Him in the bad times, and singing His praise constantly, good, bad, ugly. Because God is not the ATM machine, says the Malbim. And therefore he says, Lo kein anochi, shehat madat kiyumi v'tovati hu hashkachi. David says, I recognize that my entire existence comes from you. And therefore, if I wake up in the morning, and I'm completely healthy, and I have a roof over my head, and I have a gazillion blessings in my life, so I recognize that that's from you, right? Kiyumi v'tovati hu hashkachi. My very existence comes exactly from you. Hine akabel nes v'tova b'chol rega. I recognize that every millisecond of my life is a miracle. And so I'm not just going to remember you, Hashem, when I get the test results back from the doctor and they're a little murky and I have to wait 3 more days for the retesting, and for those 3 days I'm davening and I'm crying and I'm calling out. No. Even when I wake up and I feel great in the morning, and it's so easy to forget Hashem, says David HaMelech, Tamid ayachel. I recognize that every millisecond of my life is a miracle from you, is a gift from you. And I'm never, ever going to forget that it all comes from you. This, says the Malbim, is what the end of the 15th verse means when it says, Ki lo yadati siforos. I don't know your countings. None of us had any idea what that meant. So says the Malbim, you know what it means? Siforot means that I can't begin to fathom and count all of the millions of blessings that you have given me in my life, right? Ki b'chol rega kibalti elef nisim, says the Malbim. At every moment, you and I are receiving thousands of blessings. You and I are sitting in this room. There are thousands and thousands of things that are going right in every single one of our lives at this moment. Our body's working, right? And that in and of itself is a million things going right at the same time. And you and I know that if one little thing goes wrong within those millions of things, something catastrophic could happen, right? The fact that you and I are sitting here, the weather is what it is, that we're not being taken, right? There are a million blessings, as I'm saying these words, that are existing in this life, so much so that it's impossible for us to ever count it, right? That's what we say in Nishmas, right? That even if we tried, even if we can never sing all of your praises, right? We can never fully communicate to Hashem the magnitude of our gratitude for all the millions of blessings in our lives. That says the Malbim. And such a beautiful interpretation of a very strange phraseology. Ki lo yadati siforos. I don't know your countings. In other words, I can never fully comprehend and I can never fully count the gazillions of blessings in my life at every single second. Pasuk 16. Avo b'gvuros Adonai Elohim azkir tzidkascha tamid. Right again, I put my faith in you. I recount all of your tzedakah, all of you, the righteousness that you perform on my behalf. Malbim will point out over here that what does it mean? Azkir tzidkascha levadcha. What does that mean? So it means that I'm not just going to recount your tzedek that is revealed to other people, but even the things. Even the things that other people don't know about. Just the fact that you exist, Hashem, I'm going to praise you. Just the fact that you created this world, Hashem, I'm going to praise you. Elohim, limaritani minurai, Hashem, Pasuk 17. You already taught me from when I was young. V'adhena agid niflosecha. And I haven't forgotten it, even as I get older. We're going to go through very quickly the end of the psukim. V'gam adzikna v'seva Elohim al tazveni. Ad agid zeracha lador, Hashem, even as I get older, don't forsake me. Lechol yavo gvurasecha. Don't forsake anyone who comes to seek out your strength. V'tzid kascha Elohim ad marom asher asisa gedolos Elohim michamocha. Your righteousness is ad marom. In other words, it's endless. It's boundless. Right? Where do we say this phrase? A formulation of this phrase? For those who come to mincha on Shabbos afternoon, we say tzid kascha. We say three psukim at the conclusion of Shmona Esrei. This is one of those psukim. It comes from there. Pasuk 20. Asher hir isani tsaros rabos varos tashuv techayenu. Hashem, you have shown me many hardships. In other words, life has not always been so rosy for me, Hashem. Umitomos haaretz tashuv ta'aleinu. And yet, from all of those dark moments, Hashem, you have ta'aleini, you have lifted me up. Terev gedulasi v'tisov t'nachameni. Again, Hashem, you should give me comfort. Gamani, Pasuk 22. Gamani odcha bechli nevel amitcha Elohai azamra lecha bechinor. Hashem, I'm going to sing your praises. I'm going to use my instruments. Kadosh Yisrael. Tiranena svasai. I'm going to sing your praise with my mouth. Ki azamra lach v'nafshi asher padisa. Because you have constantly saved me. Gam l'shoni kol ayom te'aget zikasecha. All day. My mouth will sing you, or will talk about your righteousness. Ki boshu, ki chafru, mevakshe rasi. Because you have disgraced and you have humiliated and you have pushed back all of those who sought my destruction. Okay. What word has come up? So I told you one word, tamid. We spoke about that. The consistency. David HaMelech is saying, Hashem, I sing songs to you in praise, no matter what the circumstances. I can't even count them. Your blessings are amazing. What other word comes up over and over again? Ah! You hit the jackpot, first try. By the way, you saw someone in Palm Beach County just won the lottery. I don't know, as a rabbi, I notice these things because I want to immediately look at the name. You know? I'm saying, if someone in our community, Meiser, 20%, you know, just saying. It wasn't. It was someone up north. Won $2 million. Okay. So, tzidkascha, you won the $2 million jackpot this morning. Why is that word tzidkascha so significant? What does it mean? Tzedek, righteousness. Okay, thank you. What does it mean? Right, what does it mean? What does righteousness mean? So, how would you describe righteousness? You're on a roll. Things that are done in a proper manner. So when David davens to Hashem and he says, Hashem, treat me with righteousness, it means in the proper manner.
And it's proper that he means it sincerely.
So Hashem, relate to me in a sincere way. Okay. Any other suggestions for what tzidkascha or tzedek means? Those who are online are welcome to put it in the chat if they would like. Yes. Good, okay.
People think they're doing the right thing.
Right.
In fact, the guys on the side of David
think they're doing the right thing also. Or, I thought you were going to say differently, we think we know what the right thing is. Mm-hmm. Right? So I think I know what's right, but I have no concept of what's right because God knows what's right. And that's what makes him God. Forbearing. Sarah Newcomb says forbearing. I don't know what that means. What does forbearing mean? I mean, I know what forbearing means. What does it mean in the context of our chapter of Tehillim? Now I'm going to give you homework, Sarah. You got to type out a little more than one word, right? So let me read to you Rav Hirsch while Sarah Newcomb is typing out her description of forbearing. Rav Hirsch says something which I think is beautiful, and I think it also captures exactly what you were saying before and exactly what I think this chapter is all about. Says Rav Hirsch that tzedakah comes up oftentimes even in Sefer Bereishis, right? We talk about the notion of Hashem's righteousness. So what does that mean? He says the following, I think it's beautiful. Tzedakah, when used with reference to God, denotes tzedek, tempered by mercy. Right? Righteousness means a sense of justice almost. Right? So Hashem, treat me with justice. But we don't really want God's justice. Because do we really want everything we deserve? No, that would not be very pretty for us. On the other hand, God is a just God. So we're caught a little bit in a catch-22. On the one hand, we want God to be a just God because we want him to repay enemies. We want him to, right, to give people what they deserve on the negative sense when people deserve bad things. But on the other hand, when it comes to us, God wants us to, we want God to cut us some slack. But how does that work? He's a just God. So is God just going to overlook our mistakes? Is God going to just, will it like forgive our mistakes? Carte blanche, right? That's not so fair either, because we deserve, there has to be accountability. So how do we balance God's sense of justice with also our desire for God's mercy? Right? This is really what the Yom Narayim are all about. Every time we talk to God, this is what it's all about. So says Rav Hirsch that the word tzedek is justice tempered with mercy. Mercy proving itself in righteous judgment. In other words, David is not asking Hashem not to judge him. And this comes back to your point. David is not asking Hashem for the get out of jail free card. What he is asking for Hashem is that Hashem, when you do come to judge me, it should be tempered with mercy. What does it mean that justice is tempered with mercy? How do we define that in very real terms? So he says here, it is the loving justice which is demonstrated particularly in the case of a person who in accordance with the dictates of strict justice would have deserved to perish. In other words, for my actions, Hashem, I deserve all the punishment of the world, says David HaMelech. So what's his ask? What is he requesting from Hashem? But instead is given an opportunity to mend his ways. Right? What we're really asking God for. And if you learn the introduction, the first few chapters, I think it's the first chapter, second chapter, Mesillas Yesharim. Mesillas Yesharim, the Ramchal, deals with this very issue. Exact same issue. He talks about in two pages what Rav Hirsch said in one line. Exact same issue. How do we relate to Hashem's justice if we also want mercy? The Ramchal says the exact same answer, which is?
He allows us tshuva.
He allows us tshuva. That's what we're really asking God for. The opportunity to mend our ways. In other words, we're saying to Hashem, don't have that lightning come out and strike me the moment I do something wrong. Delay the punishment, giving me the opportunity to do tshuva. Giving me the opportunity to become a different person. Giving me the opportunity to change who I am so that the new me is no longer the old me. And if it's the new me, then the punishment that was deserving the old me is no longer applicable to the new me. I know that was whatever. Right? You get the point. Right? You get the point. But that's, I think, Len, coming back exactly to what you were saying. David HaMelech is not asking Hashem for that get out of jail free card. He's not saying that I've been perfect my entire life. And he recognizes that there are consequences for his actions. And yet, what does he daven to Hashem for? He davens to Hashem for the opportunity to do tshuva. Hashem, give me a little time. Afford me that we would call Hashem's patience. What does it mean that Hashem is patient? Right, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum mechanun, erech apayim. Hashem doesn't get angry easily. This is exactly what it means, right? Someone who gets angry easily, the moment you do something wrong, what are they going to do? They're going to go into a fit of rage and they're going to punish you for what you did wrong. What are you asking for? Erech apayim, Hashem, be a little patient. You're asking for that time. Hashem, don't punish me immediately. Delay the punishment. Give me the opportunity to do tshuva. That is exactly what David HaMelech is asking for Hashem in this parak. Why do I think that's so significant? Because I think it's so real, right? David is not asking for that get out of jail free card. He recognizes the consequences of his actions. But he's saying, Hashem, what it means to be in that relationship with you, same way we try not to fly off the handle at our children. When our children make a mistake, we try to be a little patient. We give them time. We give them an opportunity to fix their mistake. When do we get really annoyed at our children? Never happens in my house. When do we really get annoyed at our children?
Do it again.
When you give them the opportunity to fix their mistakes and they do it again. And then you're like, come on. Right? Like I put you on the 1 yard line. I gave you every opportunity to fix it and you wouldn't do it. Now I'm upset at you. Now I'm really frustrated at you. Right? Rabbeinu Yonah writes that in Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah writes that someone who has the opportunity to do tshuva and doesn't is worse off than the person who doesn't have the opportunity to tshuva. Why? Because he says it's the equivalent of, imagine you're in jail. This is what Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva. Imagine you're in jail and the warden one night comes by, opens the gate, winks at you, and continues on. And the warden comes back the tomorrow morning, walks by your cell, and he sees you sitting in the cell. So what's the warden going to say to you? This is the exact words of Rabbeinu Yonah. They're not my words. He's going to say, you idiot. That's what the Rabbeinu Yonah writes. Right? You idiot. I unlocked the gate for you. I gave you the opportunity to escape. And you're still sitting here in the cell? You deserve even a bigger... You're such a fool. You deserve a bigger punishment. Right? So Hashem gives us tshuva. That's what we want. We want Hashem to open the door for tshuva for us. When we don't take that opportunity, when we don't maximize the gift that God gave us to change ourselves, then Hashem says, come on. Right? I gave you the chance. I gave you opportunities throughout the year. You don't take advantage of it. Now you're just a fool. Now you deserve even a worse punishment. Right? So David HaMelech is not asking for that get out of jail free card. He's fully cognizant of his mistakes. But he's asking Hashem for tzedek, to temper it with that mercy, to give him an opportunity to mend his ways. This opportunity consists of misfortune, says a verse. In other words, David knows there might be a punishment along the way, which Hashem inflicts upon him in order to aid in attaining a more moral and spiritual personality and to atone for his ignoble past. In other words, we recognize the same way we punish our children sometimes, and we do it because we want them to improve and get better. So we recognize the world's not always rosy. It's not always perfect. We don't always get what we want. We recognize that, right? But what do we do ask for? But we ask that he may rise up to a new future, undimmed by the consequences of his past errors. In other words, Hashem, even when you punish me, even when you have to give me a little potch, do it in a way that I'm going to learn from that mistake. Do it in a way that I'm going to grow from that experience. Do it in a way that it inspires me to mend my ways. That, I think, is why that word tzedek, tzedek, tzedek appears over and over and over again throughout the chapter, because it's exactly what David's going through. Remember, what's the two sides of the coin here? One is David has youth, the other David in his old age. As we referenced in the beginning, a lot happens in between those two, right? David does stuff that might warrant this conversation. And yet David says in his old age, Hashem, I get you had to punish me. Right, but do it with tzedek. Do it with mercy. Do it in a way that improves me. Do it in a way that it doesn't give fodder to my enemies to seek out my further destruction, or to, God forbid, say that you aren't as great as everyone thinks you are. Right? David says, even in my old age, even after my mistakes, punish me with tzedek. Punish me in a way that I can learn from those mistakes. Again, I think there is so much in these two chapters of Tehillim. Now you understand why we did the two of them together. Not because one was short and one was long. We've done short chapters, but they really flow together, right? It's that recognition of despair. It's crying out to Hashem for that salvation. But it's everything in between, which I think is so magnificent and so beautiful. It's the notion of our relationship with Hashem, ayachel, that we crave that relationship with Hashem tamid, good, bad, ugly, at all parts of our life, so much so that we can't even count the gazillions of brachos that Hashem does for us on a daily, on a minute-by-minute, millisecond-by-millisecond basis, right? And it's ultimately a recognition that we ultimately place our faith in Hashem no matter what circumstances we face in our lives.